Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Psalm 2. In the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus our Lord is the blessed man who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. Psalm 1. Psalm 1 also describes him as a tree planted by rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in due season, a tree whose leaf does not wither, a tree, whatever he does, shall prosper. But wisdom made flesh is an affront to the wisdom of this world. The powers of this world cannot abide him. And the same goes for you, dear Christian, that is, you who are in Christ. Because by his word and spirit, you are like Christ. Again, in the words of Psalm 1, you refuse to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You refuse to stand in the path of sinners, nor will you sit in the seat of the scornful. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Not that long ago, we heard of Herod, a king of this world, who immediately felt threatened at the birth of God's anointed one. And he should, for there is no compromise between the world's wisdom and power and God's wisdom and power. They are at deep enmity. As the apostle writes, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 4. So Psalm 2 describes the historic conflict prophetically fulfilled in Christ Jesus. The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers gathered in council against the Lord and against his Messiah, his Christ. The council of this world and its rulers, and indeed its kings, they cannot endure the reign of Christ. They will always say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. The kingdoms of this world and its rulers and councils, they oppose Christ the King. And this has been known quite well by Christians as they've been given to suffer as Christ suffered. Hear one of the earliest, first recorded Christian prayers. It went like this. Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? Kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. That earliest of recorded Christian prayers actually is in Acts chapter 4. And the context of this prayer is the persecution of the church by the authorities in Jerusalem. The psalm's meaning is not then some kind of distant past, some metaphorical concept, but it's actually an ongoing description of Christian history, of Christ, of course, and of all those who are in Christ. That's how Peter and John understood the psalm, and they took comfort in Christ's word as they used it in their prayer. And we do too, because the psalm teaches us not to be impressed by all this sinful revolution against the reign of God and his Christ. We actually probably laugh a bit at the futility of those religious leaders and Herod and even Pilate, thinking that they had won the victory and they had quelled the rebellion and had defeated Jesus. We laugh in the background at them because the Lord in the heavens laughs too. The final word of the psalm is divine judgment. It blesses the just and condemns the wicked. Or as we echo in the creed, from thence he, Jesus, will come to judge the living and the dead. These themes of judgment against the ungodly and blessing for the just are expanded for us in St. John's Apocalypse, where again we see the anger of the nations and the wrath of God against them, Revelations 11, and the political conspiracy against God, Revelation 19, and even the Messiah's iron rod inflicting wrath on his enemies. The way the sinful world thinks that it can overpower the Almighty and his Christ is truly laughable. Christ is king, whether you confess it or not. Even the most powerful of the fallen angels can do nothing without God's permission. And I'm referring to Satan, of course. And when the governments and other powers and principalities and rulers rebel against God and against his anointed, imagine that God chuckles in heaven. He that thrones in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord will hold them in derision. All their might will come unraveled. Their might, a joke, a mere facade. God is with us, and we are with God. Our victory cannot fail. Maybe we need to learn to laugh at the enemies of God, just as God does. Because his chosen one and heir is already the anointed. He was the anointed even before he was incarnate in the Virgin's womb. Before he was even born, his victory over all ungodly power and might had already been won. This is why Jesus could say, even against the serpent in the garden, in Genesis 3, at the very beginning, that he would come to crush his head. Thus, during Christmastide, and also at our Lord's baptism, and again at his transfiguration, we hear the Messiah himself proclaim, "The Lord said unto me, You are my Son, this day I have begotten you." This is the essential Christ confession of the Church. So when you are asked, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? The Christian, along with the gospel, can respond. You can respond. Jesus is Christ, the King, the Son of God. So today we heard and saw Pilate set himself and the Sanhedrin take counsel together against the Lord and against his Christ. But the Lord in the heavens laughs and holds them in derision. That is, he even uses their wickedness to accomplish for you and for me and for all mankind salvation. Even as Jesus is lifted up on Skull Hill, the Lord is setting him as king on the holy hill of Zion. In a strange turn, the only begotten Son does receive the nations as his inheritance and the earth for his possession, as he suffers and dies to redeem them and to make them his own. Or as we confess, my Lord has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him and his kingdom. God's only begotten Son is the sole mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. His name is the only name under heaven given to men by which we may be saved. Therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest you be angry and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled even but a little. Blessed are all, that's you, Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.